Brain Candy Podcast, episode 785. Boy, today is a real humdinger because our beloved Sarah Louise is still convalescing after she had her hysteria removed. And so I had to recruit. And welcome to the show. Longtime listener, first time co-host, Kelly Louise Kinsey.
Hey, Suze. Hey.
Hey, sorry I had to rope you in, but desperate times. I know that it's not like you're not dying for the spotlight over there, but you know when you're needed.
I'm pumped. I'm here.
Well, the listeners will be pumped because although I do name you frequently, it's like split between Kelly, shout out to Kelly, and my Les is when I'm referring to you and your wife, Heath. So
I've seen, have you ever seen in the chat? Deep competition.
Well, have you ever seen like on the Facebook group or whatever when people were like, who are these Les's? Like icons.
Now we've cracked the case.
Anymore. No, she's here. Yeah. Welcome. How does it feel?
Feels great. It's very strange, though, to hear your voice in your own ears, but
yeah, I'm excited. Unsettling. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I know the Brainiacs are going to be excited, too. And just as a bit of background, Kelly and I are, what year? 25 years we're on?
Sounds right.
My God.
Yeah.
It's like our 25th anniversary. After meeting at Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon, we were servers. Okay, so they tore down our Lone Star, our local Lone Star where we met, which is really sad. If it still existed, number one, would you be a customer?
Yes.
Just for old time's sake?
Yeah, I want to see what they do there now.
Do they still have Texas Ranch? Oh yeah, God, okay, drinks, but number two, if I said to you, hey, Kel, like, what if we worked there, like, one night a week? Would you do it?
No way.
I would.
I don't think so. For material or what? Because no.
Well, because you know how that thing happens where life gets harder, in my case at least, like life gets real complicated when you're married and you have kids, and you have a full-time job and stuff, and then you start to like romanticize your youth. I was like, that was real fun.
It was. But then that would require leaving the house after 8 or 7, and I can't.
We could put you on lunches.
Oh, okay. That could be a deal. That could be a deal.
Right, because, like, the tips are worse, but at least, you know, you could be in bed by 9.
Stories
just
are probably better,
about
too,
it.
Though.
Mm-hmm. What's better?
The stories. The customers.
Right.
You know?
Early birds.
Early bird special.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a moot point because we don't have a Lone Star anymore, but I wish we did. I was fantasizing about it today in preparation for this episode. I would go back. Wow. Can't go home again, but all right. So this is Kelly's first time. So I try to tell her the ropes, not like she isn't familiar with the format, which is there is no format, but I've basically just prepared her for this is the role of a lifetime because think about Sarah's, do you feel like the pressure to be as expressive as our beloved?
A little bit, slightly pressured, but hopefully I won't disappoint.
Well, hopefully. Talk about shoes to fill because I mean,
it's tough.
She knows how to react.
She does.
All right. Well, we'll see what you can do.
Okay.
Okay. First up on the agenda, I did give Kelly some homework. I told her one thing I knew I was going to be talking about is the documentary from HBO Max, Chowchilla. And she said beforehand that she fulfilled her homework and watched it.
I did. I wish I didn't, but I did watch it.
The synopsis is Chowchilla is about, what year do you remember?
Yeah, 1976, because that's the year of my birth, and it happened like 6 days after.
Bicentennial baby!
I just gave you my age, but that's fine also.
Secrets out.
Uh-huh.
1976, a bus full of children was abducted.
Yep.
And by people with guns, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's their story, and it's not really a spoiler because it's obvious from the very beginning of the film that they survive because they're the ones telling the story.
Or else I couldn't have probably finished. But yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's obvious from the beginning that they survive, but really it doesn't matter because the essence of the film is exploring what happened to them and then the effects. Mm-hmm. And how when things happen to you when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Cal.
Crazy.
Was it crazy for you or am I just overreacting?
No, it was crazy. The whole thing was crazy. And my anxiety, my kidnapping anxiety is through the roof because, you know, I already have that like in general.
Do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because yes, I do. That's probably a whole other conversation, but I am terrified of that. Not just, I mean, for myself, but like for my kids, and my kids are new bus riders.
Hold it. So, you think you're going to be kidnapped?
I think it's possible. I mean, more so I'm worried about my kids, but I mean, it's high. Like I just, because people are just literally so unhinged. That anything could happen at any time.
Okay, so you're on alert is what you're saying.
High alert.
In fight or flight every...
At all times.
Okay, so this was probably a difficult homework assignment for you then. Okay.
Wasn't the best.
Yeah, and so you're affected by it because as a viewer, you're thinking, number one, what if I sent my kids on the bus and then they didn't come home? Mm-hmm. And not just didn't come home, but like without a trace, this entire bus full of human beings.
26 kids. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it just kept getting more shocking to me because who you might expect to take kids, I didn't feel like they fit sort of like the idea of who might do that.
No.
Then like what happened to them after they were abducted is absolutely wild. I would say they were buried alive, essentially, which is hideous.
That's accurate. That's what I would say.
All right. I don't want to give away too much, but what do you think about the bus driver, Ed?
Well, to be honest, I feel like I missed something because I don't know where he was in when they were like under there. Like but they split them into two groups, right?
Yeah. They were in two different vans.
But the kids that were now adults in the documentary were referencing him, but not enough so that I felt like he was being like an active participant in like, how the hell are we going to get out of here?
You're right, Kelly.
Right.
Because like in the end, I think you missed the part where they said he gave up.
Right.
He was like, I guess we're doomed down here.
It's doomed forever. Yeah, that's the part that I miss. I know that he started helping once one of the other kids, like, rallied. But there was, like, that little tidbit that I was missing. But, like, the whole thing is crazy. On one hand, like, it increased my kidnapping anxiety, like, 100 times. On the other hand, in a strange way, I feel like it did teach me something about trauma. And, like, how, I don't want to say how briefly like this encounter was, but it was like a 24 hour situation and it was traumatic and horrific and all of those things. But to see the long lasting effects for all of those lives was really profound because it was like a snowball effect sort of from that moment in their lives.
Yeah. You know, think about the 70s and how far we've come in terms of understanding not just trauma, but the way that trauma can impact a child. But so back then it was just like, everyone was so glad that they didn't die and right. that it seemed like a happy ending. But that is a real issue with like media narratives. And I even talk about this with people from the challenge where, you know, if somebody's struggling with addiction or whatever, like I think people expect that if they were to go to rehab, then they come back and it's a happy ending and everything's fine. But a lot of times there's sustained like mental health
right.
repercussions that don't yeah. look very pretty and aren't tied with a bow. Mm-hmm. And that isn't as an appealing of a story for like media.
No. No.
And so sometimes they'll just fake it.
Right. And I mean, not just their lives, but their parents' lives, their siblings' lives, their significant others' lives, you know, as they're adults. I mean, that's just really something that you don't think about. At least I didn't think about
in that yeah, way. It was, I just felt, I told my sister I cried through like the second half because I was so moved mm-hmm. by their stories and how affected they were by this terrible thing that happened to them. Mm-hmm. And then what they did with that, some people of course become like advocates and become very vocal. And then other people like withdraw into their pain. And mm-hmm. it's all just so sad. I even was so excited about this film and how many things that it discusses that I added like a bonus meeting for our candy club. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was like, I gotta talk about this.
Yeah.
Because
I want to talk about those. What did they do? Did you investigate what those guys are doing now?
Oh my God.
Out of prison?
That is the craziest part, Kelly.
Oh, I just spoiled it.
No, it's
sorry,
okay.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
No, thank you for reminding me that what happens to the kidnappers is crazy too.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does raise questions about like, what is an adequate right. Punishment?
Yeah.
And like what?
That's uncomfortable. That's an uncomfortable conversation in my mind because they did a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Horrible. But they had a life sentence. They just actually, they just recently were let out though. So, I mean, it's not like they didn't serve a lot of time. They really did.
Yeah. But then, yeah, it's like this question of like, what is justice?
Right.
What's fair? Right. And you can totally see both sides.
Yeah.
Of like leniency or, you know, if it were my freaking kids, I'd be like, you know, merciless.
Right. For Evs.
Well, anyway, I loved it. That's my point. It's crazy. I have so many parts of the documentary that I want to talk about with our candy club. So I'm excited for that. I'll tell you what else I'm excited for, Kel. And that is pair eyewear. Tell me. And here's why. Okay.
Tell me.
I know that Kelly can relate because, as you know, she's a bicentennial baby. Secret's out. And what happens when you are over 40 mm-hmm. is you become blind as a bat.
So true.
And you have to bring in reinforcements. And so I would recommend pair eyewear. Here's what's cool about it. You just do like a digital try-on, virtual try-on, and then you see what you look like in all their frames. Pick the one that looks cutest on you. And then what's fun is they have all these magnetic snap-on mm-hmm. toppers. So like you can be whimsical. You can have like holiday stuff. You could just do color and then have like a basic black or tortoise shell frame or whatever. It's so fun. And it's super easy.
That's next on my list.
I'm saying. Because mm-hmm. you wear readers or do you have like an official prescription?
It's an official prescription, but I'm going back soon. And that's my next stop after I get an updated script.
See, we're changing lives over here. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. It's super convenient. You just upload your prescription. No big whoop. Visualize a fantastic new year with Pair Eyewear. Go to paireyewear.com and use code BRAINCANDY for 15% off your first pair and support our show by mentioning that Brain Candy sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code BRAINCANDY. All right, let's move on, shall we?
Okay. Okay.
So next on my agenda, I think I had things I was mad about.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. You may have seen this in the news. There was this guy. All that the title of the article said was that this guy was arrested for opening like the emergency door of the plane and going out on the wing. That's what like the headline said.
What do you mean?
Kelly, I'm picturing them like in the air. Like yes. He's wing walking.
Right.
But they were just like on the tarmac, right?
So okay, I don't know. That's still disturbing.
It is, but like tone it down. I thought he was like the Evel Knievel up there. Okay. So then I thought, well, that's what kind of a jackass does that? But then I read the article and now I am on his side. Basically, you're annoyed.
Why?
Okay, so the plane was in Mexico and it was one of those deals where you're on the plane, everybody's in there, and then you sit there for 3 hours like a doofus, right? Because there's a mechanical issue or whatever.
Yeah.
And they do not have air or water. And so there, you know how it is, like the crowd starts to be like, ugh. And he said, hey, do you people want me to take matters into my own hands? And everyone was like, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So they like unanimously nominated or agreed to this guy opening that door and heading out there. Basically,
he's a hero. How he got it open. How did he get it open?
That's the crazy part, Kelly. It's real easy.
No, it's not. It's really easy?
Yeah. Like, it's disturbingly easy to open the door of an airplane. Okay, so then he gets arrested.
Wait, though. Yeah. What was the point? Okay, we're going to open it. What did they want him to do? We're pissed. We went out of here. We want water. We want peanuts or whatever the hell. We're going to go out on the wing.
Yeah, get us off of here.
Okay.
Like, like they were in Chowchilla.
Okay, so he's going to walk out on the wing and do what? Like, SOS, help, rescue.
Right, he's like trying to get like the traffic controllers. I mean, I think he was just creating a ruckus that would then force deplanement.
Okay.
And he succeeded because he goes out there, they arrest him, and then they have to take everybody off the plane and put them on a different plane, and off they went.
Just lickety-split like that?
Lickety-split. And then made this petition, like a handwritten one that they all signed and were like, he's a hero. He shouldn't be a criminal.
Okay, good.
What do you think about this?
I agree. You convinced me.
Yeah, you feel like he did the right thing.
Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to sit there for hours and hours? Like, let us move. Let us breathe. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yes, I'm on board with that. I think it's
okay. Because here's the thing. Whatever the mechanical issue was, you know pretty soon after whether it's going to take 5 minutes to fix or
5 hours.
Not.
Right?
Yeah. And so, like, I feel like they take liberties and they're like, well, everyone's on there. Let's just
wait it out.
Yeah. And that's insanity. Why are we doing that?
Because we're forced to, but I mean, I think everybody should take a page from his book and we're just going to start opening doors if shit doesn't go our way.
Civil disobedience.
It's easy. Yeah. Yeah. And like, give us some information or comfort, amenities,
that's
something
actually,
if you're going to put us through that.
Wouldn't you agree that that's half the issue in those times is this sort of, your mind has to fill in the blanks because you don't get any...
Right.
Details.
And then think about it. You're on this plane. Do you really want to take off on that plane that's been sitting there for hours doing maintenance? I don't.
Yeah.
Did you fix it? Do you need a test drive? Like flight, test flight, whatever. Like,
this seems like a pretty big problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see how like some of the airline, ticket websites now let you filter for planes that are like Boeing
I did see
missing
that.
Bolt ones.
I saw a TikTok about that. Yeah.
And what would you think? Like, would you do that?
Yeah, I guess I would now, since things are going crazy and just flying off, parts are flying off and doors are opening left and right. Yeah, I guess I would.
Left and right, like one. But that's all. That's all I need. One.
Right. That's enough.
It's enough. Trouble's brewing. Yeah. I mean, and they did have two crashes. Let's not forget.
No, it's not great.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page. Because at first I was like, this guy. And then I'm like, this guy. Hero.
No, I thought he was just creating a ruckus, but he had good reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was awesome. So we should start like a...
Does he have a jail?
GoFundMe or something.
I mean, did they post
a spell? He better be. That is a good question. And like, does he need some help? Like a legal fund?
Right. The passengers should chip in for whatever, because I mean,
that's true. I'm sure they will. They seem like they're really behind this guy. Okay. I debated whether to save this one for Sarah because I knew she'd get worked up.
Oh gosh.
Okay. But frankly, I'm worked up about it, so I'll take the lead in that area. Okay, there is this new business in, I think, New Hampshire. Okay, let me preface this by saying that I do get chided sometimes for my kink shaming.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I can be close-minded and like, that's weird. Stop being weird. Okay. But I don't care.
I can't wait.
There's a new business in, I think, New Hampshire that is a spa designed for people that like wearing diapers.
No.
And, okay. So
I was going to go, oh, shit. And then I realized what I was going to say.
It's so accurate. I mean, the article headline was Diaper Spa Raises a Stink. So, okay. I mean, I think this is like ripe for puns.
Ripe. Okay.
I know. Okay. This is for diaper wearers who seek respite, acceptance, and care. And if you are interested in attending the spa, you can request a free 30-minute call with the resident diaper doctor, Doc Murphy, to connect and discuss services and about a spa-like nursery experience for the little one inside of you, providing a warm, safe, and nurturing environment while you indulge in relaxation for $350 per hour.
My God. Sus!
I don't like it.
But this isn't, because it's not just kink, is it? Like, this is a whole, like, behavioral situation, no? It's not like we just wear a diaper and we think that's sexy or something. It's, you act like a baby, right? And all that. Like, wah.
Right, it's fires. A lifestyle.
Right? Or is that not right?
Okay, I can't say I know for sure, but...
I'm almost positive, like, it's a whole thing. Like, you act like a baby. Like, it's like a... You act like a baby. You use pacifiers and you want to be babied. Like, literally. So, I don't know why that's kink. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's because it's... Wouldn't you say it's generally, like, not all the time? Like, they probably have jobs and stuff.
But is it sexual? I don't know. Is kink... When I think of kink, I think it's sexual only, not like...
I think I was assuming, like, there's no way it's not. It's Freudian, man.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Like, they're like, what? I just want to be friends with other babies.
I think maybe it's two different things. I don't know. The listeners are going to have to let us know. But, like, I feel like it's both. Like... Act like a baby. And there's probably like poop stuff and, oh God, I don't know. It's very layered, right?
There's probably poop stuff. Probably, yeah, because somebody's changing stuff. Them.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no. But even if it is just, I don't know what you'd call it if it's not kink. You know, something you love. Just a hobby.
Okay.
Let's call it a hobby. Even if it's that, I am... anti 100%.
Anti.
And you should take that $350 an hour and invest in a psychiatrist.
Yes. $350 an hour. I missed that part. Did you say that before? Oh my God. That's insane.
$350 at the spa for respite and care in your diaper. And I just feel like you'd be better served heading to a therapist because they might be able to figure out what you're missing.
Why you want that? What need that serves? Absolutely. And I can't even fathom spending that amount of money an hour to walk around in a diaper.
Well, and then my mind went to like, I need to open a diaper spa. That is lucrative.
Wow. That's a real decision though. Can you imagine the clientele? I don't even know what to say about it.
Let's pull at that thread. Can you imagine the clientele? And if so, what percentage of them would you say are men?
100%.
Exactly.
99%. Without a doubt.
That's why I'm extra mad. Cause there's no way some lady's in there in a diaper.
No.
Right? She's the changer.
I want to meet them. There needs to be a documentary on this because I want to meet them and I want to ask a lot of questions.
Well, you'd be real nice about it. That's the thing. You wouldn't be condemning.
Well, I mean, if someone can really explain it to me, of course, I'll be nice about it. But I just want it to make sense. I just want it to like make sense. And I don't understand how it could.
Well, that's the thing. Is there any explanation where you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I get that.
Well,
because you can want care and still wear underpants.
100%. But that's it. It's so similar to, do you know, like, have you heard about like professional huggers?
Oh yeah.
So it's similar, right? Mm-hmm. But in this case, I imagine the majority of the clientele to be women. I don't know why. What do you think about that?
Oh,
because if it's care.
Oh.
You know, I don't know.
That I get though, because like, because you know how it is when, if you happen to be a lady who likes men, you're probably going to end up like, you're not going to get a lot of cuddling without, platonic cuddling. So like, I could see how you'd be like, I just could go for a spoon, like being a spoon.
But the
diaper component is next level.
Next level. Well, yeah, because then now that's why it reads like kink, I guess, is because I can imagine like they have a mommy issues, right? And they want to be like babied or spanked or whatever it is that these men want. I don't know. I don't know what function that serves, but yeah, I guess a hug's a little different.
I guess so. I'm so mad about it. Because whenever I get scolded for my shaming, people are just like, hey, if it doesn't hurt anybody, you know. And normally that is my policy. If it doesn't pick my pocket or break my leg, what do I care?
Yeah.
You know, like live and let live. But there is a line for me and it involves diapers.
I mean, can you imagine?
No.
Do you think the people that like a prerequisite to work there is like, you have to be into it? Cause how could you possibly do that job?
You have to be a member of the community.
I mean, there has to be some type of rule cause otherwise there's no way.
Right. No. And like, is it so, you know how like in BDSM, there's like a dom and a sub or something.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe they have that in the diaper community where there's like a diaper wearer and a changer.
Does the changer get an outfit? Like, I just am curious.
Yeah, what are they wearing? Like, mom jeans?
And what are we doing here? Depends or what? Like, pull-up situation? Or, like, who's made... Is it? Or is it,
I'm pretty sure it's, like, adult diapers.
Okay.
Oh, but those are slip-on. Right. That wouldn't scratch the itch for them.
No. You got to have the full-on, like, newborn Velcro situation or whatever. Tape situation.
Yeah.
Do people make those?
Yeah, like extra large Pampers. Oh my God. I disapprove. I am judgmental about it. Thank you to Millicent the Brainiac who sent that to me, but not really thank you because
Millicent, absolutely not.
She knew. Sure. She sensed it. Oh, I wanted to tell you. This is so funny to me. Oh, hold on. Let me write something down. Okay. This is so funny to me. So I watched the We Are the World documentary. Did you see it? It's on Netflix.
No.
It's like called like The Greatest Night in Pop or something like that. Uh-huh. About the making of We Are the World. And I love We Are the World so mm-hmm, much. Same. I was super stoked to watch it. If you love like 70s and 80s music scene, pop music scene, you are going to want to watch it.
It sounds great. I would love to.
But I did not know, first of all, that Bette Midler was even in We Are the World, even though I've watched the video a million times. Did you?
No. Now, when you just said that, I was trying to like right, frame her picture in the crowd. It. No.
I thought, oh my God.
She didn't have a solo. Were...
Thank you. This is my gripe.
Right.
Okay. So I was like, they started mentioning her in the beginning of the thing about how they wanted to get her. And I thought, well, that's a shame they didn't. And then, and then there she was.
What?
And I was like, you mean to tell me they gave Cyndi Lauper, no offense, I know you're a fan.
I get it though. And especially
a solo.
That. Yeah.
A scream solo, which is not what it was. Her screaming.
Right.
It wasn't her best vocals.
No.
And they, maybe Bette said, no, I don't want a solo. I don't know, but she didn't get one.
Here's the thing though. As soon as you say the name of that song, what's the part you think of? Well, like you think of that immediately. So they really made the right choice, you know? That's the first thing you think of, no? Like the whole
That's
thing.
Hilarious. Your argument is that, I mean, and you're not wrong, Cyndi actually stole the show.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not in the best way, but that's what we all, that's what I think about immediately as soon as I hear that.
I mean, it
the
was
name of that song.
Real barn burner.
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, the screamers really were notable. Like her right. And even like Bob Dylan's weirdness mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Huey Lewis screamed a little bit, but I mean, he at least can sing properly. But anyway, the point of the story is that I'm like going on this rant with Adam about like, can you believe Cyndi Lauper got that hideous solo and mm-hmm. Bette Midler barely even made the video? And he goes, yeah, but like, what's Bette Midler from that? Just that movie?
Beaches. Oh my God, Adam. No. No, Adam.
What did I do?
Oh, there he is. He hears us talking SHIT about him.
Talking about Bette Midler. What's the matter with you?
For oh, real. No. Adam. Okay, so.
Oh my God.
The first thing, words out of my mouth were, wait till I tell Kelly. Because yes,
that is wild.
I was like, do not ever say that in front of any of the gays.
Never.
What
Never.
Is he talking about?
I mean, that is crazy. Beaches
It
only.
Really makes you think about like what. Because you just assume certain things are just common knowledge, pop culture stuff.
Is it not? Is that a gay thing? Can't be, is
well,
it?
Well, I think men maybe don't really, like straight men, don't really know about her legacy.
Oh my God.
That movie. I mean, I like Beaches, but like that's not why
she's
amazing.
But do straight men even know about Beaches, though? I mean, I don't know. This is a real
I think they know about
question.
That song from Beaches, okay. Which annoys them, probably. Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah, Wing Beneath My Wings.
But
whatever.
She's a Broadway yes. legend.
Yeah, that's really crazy. I would not have expected that from Adam.
I know. Mm-mm. I'm sorry I had to tell you about it.
But I do have to go back and watch the video now because I have no recollection of her even being present.
I get the feeling, even in the documentary, just the footage they had of her there, that she was sort of like...
Not into it.
Yeah, not into it.
That makes sense. That tracks, actually.
Where she's
that
like,
makes
what?
Sense.
It's a lot
like,
of Gentiles.
Out of here.
Yeah. If you had to choose, though, do you have a favorite solo from We Are the World?
Well, favorite in what out? Way? I mean, like, Cyndi is my favorite because it's so... nuts. And by the way, I'm a huge fan. She's like one of my top three people to see. I've seen her like many times. I love her. That's why I said that's not her best performance. But she's the person that stands out in my memory the most, and Lionel Richie for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wrote it and he organized the whole thing. So yeah. He deserves so much credit. Tell you what else I'm into, and that is my Hatch Restore. Are you familiar with this? It's like, I guess you would call it like an alarm clock, but it's not really. It's like a simulated sunrise.
Right, where it like illuminates.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's awesome. It's like, you know how like, I'm one of those people that I never set an alarm because I find them violent. Like
Yeah. It's jarring. I would rather, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's healthy. And so until the Hatch came, I wouldn't even set anything. And now, problem solved, because it's this like thing that's like looks like a sun, like a half sun, like coming up above the horizon. And it turns on slowly over a half hour period, just like a sunrise.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was a half hour period. That's nice.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. like if I put in like I want to get up at 7, it'll mm-hmm. slightly start lighting up at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then at 7, you can pick like what you want to happen, but we have like sort of like a melodious mm-hmm. whatever that's soothing still, but it's like, hey, get out of bed.
Right. Wake up.
But you can pick it like bells or like birds chirping, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more natural.
And I bet your day just breezes through instead of, right.
It sets the tone.
Yep.
And it's like, it teaches your body when it's time to, cause you can do a sleep one too. If you have trouble kind of going to sleep, you can
sure
do that
do.
Too. We just do the wake up in our house, but you can do a nighttime one, and it's like prioritizing rest.
I'm into it. Nighttime.
Yeah.
One.
I think you would love one.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you one today for being on the show.
Perfect.
Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of a Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/braincandy. Visit hatch.co/braincandy. Get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/braincandy. And if you ever forget our codes, you can just go to thebraincandypodcast.com because I try to keep our candy codes updated so you have them, because it helps our show so much if you use them.
It's so helpful.
What a... If once you see it, you will be like, I can't believe they pulled this off, because it was like just getting everybody in that room.
If you even think about how they all got there at the same time, that would never even happen now. Ever.
Well, do you want to know how they did it?
Tell me.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it. Lionel was hosting the AMAs, and so they knew that all these people were going to be in town.
Yeah.
And so he hosted the damn thing and then said, come over here at 10 p.m. after the AMAs.
The AMAs.
So they started recording at 10 p.m. Mm. and went until 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning.
Wow.
After
amazing.
The AMAs.
Wow. What a night. Day.
Tip of the hat.
100% bravo. That's how you have to do it. Absolutely. That was really smart.
I mean, saving mm-hmm. people. Saving the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what a song. But I always talk about how, like, I love MJ, voice of an angel. Otherwise, yeah. I don't like him because he's Problems. Clearly a predator.
Yeah.
But it always annoyed me how, you know how his solo is, like, outstanding?
Yeah.
Well, he, like, pre-recorded it. And
I was gonna say, he probably did some sort of, like, witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, because I always thought it was just, he's amazing. And then I marry a sound guy and I'm like, can you believe this voice of an angel? And he's like, well, yeah, it is. But like he pre-recorded it and then layered it. So it's like his voice, like three of them, you know how beautiful that can sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, on this topic, I don't want to spend too much time on MJ, but bringing him up, I have a question.
Bring it.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I hear his music come on. Like, what are we doing? Are we turning it off? Or, I mean, and there was just, I don't know if you've seen, but LSU recently did like their dance routine to Smooth Criminal, which is phenomenal, by the way. And it's like a whole thing, like people redoing the dances, and the, it's like a trend, I guess. But like, that's a choice, right? It's a choice. And I feel like when people are making that choice, we sort of disregard what we shouldn't be disregarding. Even, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like I don't know how to act.
Well, so Adam had put in place the limitation that, like, we could listen to Jackson 5, because you can't be a pedophile if you're mm-hmm. a kid.
Okay.
And so that was, like, innocent MJ. But then, like, off the wall, things start getting murky where Adam wants to turn it off and I'm mm-hmm. still grooving. Yeah. And I was thinking that when I was watching the documentary, because I thought it was sort of strange, because Lionel, I felt, was very generous because he co-wrote the song with MJ. Yeah. And he was very generous to him about, like, almost saying like he was the genius behind the song, which I don't buy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it's weird, because I don't think you would see the same sort of narrative with like Bill Cosby.
Right.
Even though people still like his work and recognize that he's a legend in the comedy world, people are like, ugh. And I don't know why. And it really maybe is just like pays to settle, because he settled those lawsuits, mm-hmm. whereas Bill was in the courtroom and was ultimately, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's the difference?
I mean, I guess maybe partially, but I think it's also just the connection to his music is so strong for everybody on a different way that it's like when you hear it, you like don't rationally use your brain. It's just like you go right into your Thriller moves or whatever you did when the song came out.
Yeah. Whereas like nobody's sitting around watching Cosby Show all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just sort of,
and even when it comes on, if it comes on, which I don't think it does, but even if you see old clips or something, you're always like, mm-hmm, you're a little weird.
It hits different. It's a little,
all his behavior.
Well, because he was mining his real life for that sitcom. Mm-hmm. It was like modeled on his real life. Whereas MJ's songs are disconnected from like whatever the fuck he was doing. Yeah. And they're so great.
I mean, it really sucks.
What are we going to do? What should our policy be?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking. What are we doing? I don't know the answer. It is so good, and it's so very upsetting.
It is a quagmire, though, because the money that he made mm-hmm. from his music is what allowed him to be able to accomplish in a criminal way what he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like is still those victims, you know. When you did you watch mm-hmm. Leaving Neverland?
I did, yeah.
Hades. I still have the imagery in my mind of like the terrible mm-hmm. stories that those guys told.
Yeah, they are messed up.
Forever.
Absolutely.
It goes back to the Chowchilla thing where it's like these kids mm-hmm. their whole life was changed, and then we're still like rocking out to Thriller.
That's what I mean. When it comes on, it's like, okay, well, we should turn, you know, we got to turn it off. We got to switch it up. But it's such a, it's like so hard to do because of that relationship that you have to the music.
Yeah. And I guess everybody has to decide what they're comfortable with. But
yeah.
And like, I remember there was this clip, I think it was on Colbert. And Jerry Seinfeld was the guest. And Colbert, he's very devout and mm-hmm. thoughtful. And Jerry is much more like, And so Colbert is saying, like, can you enjoy, like, Cosby's comedy after what happened? Mm-hmm. And can you separate the art from the artist? And Jerry's like, yeah, I can. Like, no problem. For some people, I guess it's just, like, it's totally separate. With, you're not condoning it, but like, it's not my problem kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean, I guess people can do that. I'm just not one of them.
Mm-hmm. But when you're watching it, you can see why there's this sort of like ambivalence, because he is a genius. Musical. Genius.
Like, what happened to Bill as a child? Like,
good question.
Because, you know, there's some, I don't know, There's some part of you that feels badly also for MJ, like, because he was also abused. So I'm just curious, like, what happened to Bill to make him the way that he is?
Right.
No, and we never talk about that.
I'm sure you haven't seen it, but, like, oftentimes when people talk about Bill, what they focus on is how, like, part of his undoing and what led to him being exposed was that he was so vocally judgmental towards Black men, mm-hmm. in particular, who didn't live up to his standards of, like, sophistication and education and mm-hmm. hard work or whatever the perception of what they ought to be. And so he was always, like, wagging his finger at them to do mm-hmm. better. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately that's why the judge released his deposition and all how he got exposed. And so Norm MacDonald has this joke where he said to Jerry Seinfeld, you know, people say, like, what happened with Bill Cosby, like, the worst part of it is the hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And Jerry was like, yeah. And he goes, I don't think it was. And Jerry was like, why? And he goes, I think it was the raping. It's like this thing where it's sort of like, wait, yes, it really is. And people get sort of hung up on the fact that he was, like, righteous indignation and, like, you know, sanctimonious about it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is he was both and it was gross and we're not watching Cosby Show. But
no, we're not.
I do think part of what you're saying is that where, like, you can almost see, you can connect the dots as to what happened with MJ.
Yeah, and you can
where
see that you're right.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Where it's like, that. What happened to you?
What
man?
Happened?
Mm-hmm. You had it all.
Right.
I don't know. But I think you should watch the documentary.
I'm definitely going to.
Okay. One last story. Let me try to decide what I want to talk about. Do you want to talk about rat selfies or ruby slippers?
Oh my God. Definitely let's go with slippers. I don't want to talk about rats ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I should have known.
You forgot.
What is wrong with me? Oh my God.
I have a critter
Kelly,
problem.
Yeah, has a phobia. That was really actually insensitive of me. I'm so sorry. We'll talk about ruby slippers. God, stupid.
Dang, I
didn't think of it. I should have actually thought about it for you or Sarah because she has a phobia of things that scurry. That's how she describes it. Anything that scurries.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I'm going to have to talk to her about that. I want to know more.
Yeah, right. Well, because they're like wily and I don't want to go into it because it'll upset you. But okay. Okay. Okay, so evidently, unbeknownst to me, years ago, the ruby slippers, the original, you know how there's like 10 pairs, but they're all mm-hmm. like the real thing from the movie, were displayed at the Judy Garland Museum in like Wichita or something, wherever she was mm-hmm. from, Missouri or something. You love her?
I love Judy, sure.
Yeah. I mean,
what self-respecting gay would not?
That is so true. God. Yeah, she's the best.
Mm-hmm. She's good.
And her ruby slippers were on display and somebody stole them. I think it was like 2003 or something. And they didn't know where they went. And it was just this mystery. And then they were discovered in like 2018. But the person that was trying to, I think the person was trying to return them for a reward. Like there was a reward for these mm-hmm. missing ruby slippers. And then they tried to get the reward. And then the police were like, no, these are stolen. For whatever reason, like they weren't going to get the reward. Maybe they did get the reward, but that's how they were discovered. I hope so, because they did the right thing.
Right.
Wonder how they got them.
Good question.
That we don't know. We don't know like how they ended up from the thief to that person.
We don't know.
But because of that discovery, they were able to figure out who the original thief was. And so he was on trial just recently. And now he's like an old man and he was like one of these heist people, you know, these weirdos that like steal artwork and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of these doofuses and he was already getting old at that time and was like, you know what? I just want one last heist.
One last snatch.
Last snatch. So he takes the ruby slippers and now he's on trial. And because he's so darn old now and like on death's door, they didn't give him any jail time. They were just like, let bygones be bygones.
Just send him on home? No ankle
yes, they
bracelet
did.
Or anything? Okay.
No, it's just sort of like, you little rascal. And then that was it.
Yeah.
And the museum's glad that they know what happened. I don't know why they would be glad. Who cares? I mean, okay. Yep. But do you feel like that justice was served? Like, who cares? No harm done.
Yeah. I mean,
me too. But that makes me want to like do crimes later.
Maybe we should do crimes later. Those
times. Thelma and Louise. Did they do the crimes or were they just like on a road trip? I don't even know.
They did crimes. I think they, and they, yeah, they did crimes. And I can't remember. That was a hell of a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure there was heisting.
Yeah, they were
along
up to no good, those two.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm saying, if like, for, cause I even said on this show, I think to Sarah, like, it is crazy to me that more old people don't do like crack and stuff. Cause like, you know.
Crack and stuff? That's so true though, cause like, why not?
Right. Like, what's the big deal? If you're ever gonna.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why more people don't think of that. Yeah, because chances are you're going to get let go. You're right. Too old.
I'm
dying. No problem.
I could see where at the end of your, because you know how they always like, you always imagine like, what are my regrets going to be? And I don't think like if you're, let's say 80 to 9, 80 or older, you could probably just go for it.
Yeah. 100%. Because who's going to get mad? Anyway, I'm still not. Like, who's mad about the ruby slippers? Nobody got hurt, right? Nobody suffered financially, really, right? So, like, I just feel like if you're not hurting somebody, and it's, like, no biggie.
Yeah, the criminal said that the what inspired them was that somebody had said to them, like, the ruby slippers must have actual rubies on them in order for them to legitimize the $1 million insurance policy, which do they have?
I don't think so. There's no damn way. There's no
sure
way.
The insurance is based on like the sentiment and like the cultural
Judy's
value.
Foot. Right. For those. That's what it's about. No.
Judy's foot.
Smelly feet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about like bejeweled diamonds and rubies.
No. And
it is like,
I mean,
sequins.
And I think we need to stop making things like that valuable. That's so dumb.
Oh, this is a hot take. Tell me why.
Yeah. Well, cause come on. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of money in general, but like things like this make me insane.
That's a hilarious
like,
point
here's
of view.
A shoe that's 100 years old and it's worth $2 million because Judy Garland's foot was in it. That's stupid.
Oh my God. Like on one hand, obviously intellectually, I get what you're saying that like it's a shoe and calm down. We're all the same. We all shit in our diapers or whatever. Right. Is that what you're getting at? Like stop being weird.
Right.
But on the other hand, I love celebrity culture and I love like those celebrities, you know, like how your favorite, can I share? Can I?
Sure.
Is your favorite celebrity Kate Winslet?
I just couldn't wait to see who you were going to say.
it could have been any number.
Yeah, it could have been a few, but no, I love Kate Winslet. Sure. Love her.
But you, there's no item that you would be like, I would love to own that she touched or was.
I mean, maybe like once upon a time, but I just don't get it now.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. Like.
Like autographs and stuff you're not into.
Not now. I was like in my teens and 20s. I have some of that shit still laying around. Like the Rosie O'Doll. I have that signed. like from
Rosie
her
like, doll.
Whatever it was called, I don't know. It was like
That's
a doll.
Adorable.
Do you remember that?
No.
From her show? No?
No.
Oh, yeah, she had like a doll and it like had her voice box in it. It was a whole, it was like a whole thing. But anyway, I have it, like her signed. I let my daughter do God knows what with it. I don't care.
I am genuinely upset right now.
Why?
That could have been for my comedy bathroom.
That's true. Well, I still have it intact. You can have it.
It's all like falling apart. The
no,
scenes.
It's, I mean, she's, you know, she treated
she's
it well.
Still, she honored it. But like,
I have a, porthole from the Titanic, the ship in the movie. I could
a
care
porthole?
Less. Yeah, like
I don't even
fake,
know what that is.
Yes, a fake window.
Like a window. Yeah. How did you get that?
I bought it on eBay 1,000 years ago.
Shut.
Yeah.
Where is it? Just in your basement?
It's in my parents' house. Yeah.
Kelly, I think we're in a fight.
Why?
Like what this episode has like because
oh,
that's
no,
so cool.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know if it's even worth anything, to be honest with you. I should probably sell it. But like
in your heart though, no, don't sell it. Hang
why?
It up.
Hang
that
it up.
That is such a fun.
Okay, yeah. It's fun decor. Yeah, it's fun for sure.
It's super
I just feel
fun.
Like yeah. But it's just like why are we attaching all this monetary value to this dumbass shit when people need money and people, you know what I mean?
People
like,
people are dying,
so,
Kim.
Yes.
I mean, I get
ridiculous.
What you're saying. Yeah. I know. I do balance it because did you ever see Schindler's List? You know, it's super intense. And at the end, you know, Schindler has saved all of these Jews from death. And then instead of like being so gratified that he could do that, he's like mad that he still has this car that could have saved however many Jews. Mm-hmm. Everything he has, he's feel like a life could, right? So like, I do get that sentiment of like, we could help all these people and we're
right.
buying portholes, but,
right. we're buying
but
portal.
It's so, but it's so fun and it's so cute to have in your house. On the other hand.
Well, I'm going to have to go after it and hang it up and then.
Was it a pretty penny?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I'm sure it wasn't at the time.
Is there like a certificate of authenticity?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I have a script with a
oh
certificate
my God.
From the Titanic movie. Yeah. I was like,
I feel like you got in before people were.
Yeah, for sure. I was early
I feel like
on that.
That's your fortune.
It's not, though. I'm almost like 100% sure it's probably not worth jack shit.
You think there's just like lots of portholes?
I don't know, but also, is it portal or port? It's like, there's two kinds, right? And I feel like I'm using the wrong one. There's like a portal.
That's so funny.
And a
it
port
can't
hole.
Be a porthole. Wait, let me
I mean the window. Is what, that's all I'm saying. I mean the window.
Let me see. Porthole. Yeah, that's the one. You said
okay.
it right. And portal is like the door that you go through to like some
right.
other world.
Right.
Like in Harry Potter.
I don't want to be confused because, I mean, we're talking about the Titanic after all.
Kate might listen. Okay. Well, that.
I would die.
I just. This is crazy because whenever I do this with Sarah, I always say like how I, after all these episodes and all these years, I still learn crazy things. Like I feel like that with you. 25 years after Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon, I just learned that you have a Titanic portal. Porthole.
Uh-huh. Porthole.
In your possession.
I do.
And you don't even care about it.
Yeah, that's the most shocking part.
When
why
did
it's not
you,
on display
I mean,
or something.
This is mostly just for me now, but like, when did you decide you didn't care anymore? Was it like a slippery slope or one day you were like, fuck it, I don't care about this stuff?
I think it was probably... I mean, I don't know if there was a moment, but I have a lot of memorabilia like that from like different
things. I know.
Things.
I thought we were on the same page. We love this shit.
I mean, I guess
You've
I just
changed.
I guess I have. I don't know. My enthusiasm for it just waned, faded away. I don't know why.
Was it Trump or like stuff happened?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, like
I
you
mean,
become jaded. kind of.
If I have to think about it, and I mean, you're really putting me to the test here, but
I'm sorry. I'll take it out if you want.
No, I guess I just think I stopped paying so much attention to it when I started paying attention to
things that matter.
Things that matter about myself, though, specifically, not just like pop culture or whatever. But I think, like,
well, right,
I think
like about you have kids, and like you realize you get perspective on,
right? Yeah,
I get that. I just think you can totally still enjoy it and have a hoot, because that's how it felt like when I was with Fraser Crane, Kelsey Grammer, where it was like, I know this is stupid, but it is a hoot.
It is a hoot. I mean, that is no question. For
and
sure.
So I love that, because I do think, because life is so difficult and, well, sad, that I really do try to lean into nonsense and jubilation.
Yeah.
If I can
find
it.
I would love to have a hoot with Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, I would love
that. Yeah, and her Rosie O'Doll. I mean, if you posted a picture of that and tagged her, she'd probably be into that.
I don't know. I mean, Rosie had her hand down my pants, and I mean, let me not make that more than it, I intend it to be.
Adam, get the press release going.
I have a tattoo, as you know, on my lower back, and she was looking at it. And so, like, if she doesn't remember that and we can't have a hoot about that, then we're not going to have a hoot about the doll.
Why do you think she did that? I mean, besides the fact that she was into you.
I wish.
Well, why? Why?
I mean, I don't know. Because she was just like, let's have a look at it. And
I think we know.
Well, I messed up, clearly. Clearly, I didn't do my part. Because here I
sit. You really blew it. Well, yeah, because I always, now I get it, because, you know, if nobody would do that unless there was fun. That's a flirty thing to do.
Well,
is my point.
Well, it makes sense though, because
that's so cute.
Yeah. If I would have known then what I know now, could have worked out differently.
Right. Isn't it funny though, sure, how when that stuff happens to women when you're young, you just don't think of it like that. You just think like, oh, that was fun, or what was that? But it's so obvious.
Damn.
Wow. She had her. Well, I love Rosie. I mean,
shout out to Rosie.
Shout out to Rosie. Shout out to portholes.
Kelly. Portholes everywhere.
Kelly, how do you feel like, if you reflect on the episode, do you feel like it was worse, better, same as you expected?
I mean, I definitely don't think I lived up to expectations, but hopefully everybody can just roll with me for an episode.
Why do you think
I had a great
that?
Time.
Okay.
But do you feel like you let us down listening to it? I think it's maybe just, I don't know. I just feel like, oh my God, I sound so boring.
Oh my gosh.
Like a big snooze.
No, that's what's funny, actually, is that in normal life, I'm the weirdo, and whoever I'm talking to is like my straight person, like my kind of like bounce off person. But only with like someone like Sarah, do then I become somehow the straight person who's just like, what's happening? This is crazy.
Yeah.
So this is actually more accurate of like normal.
Well, maybe the listeners will have a new impression of you after this episode. I don't know.
No, I think they'll just fall in love with you, as they should.
Oh, yeah.
And typically we do a wind down, but here's the deal. We talked about Chalchilla, which everyone needs to watch. The guy that went out on the plane's wing, which we
wild
are pro.
And
yeah.
For.
Yeah. What we are anti is the diaper spa.
Diaper. Anti. I'm going to do some deep diving on this, though, because is it just that one place? I feel like it's a whole thing. I feel like it's probably not just that one place.
I think
and
it's
I
just that
know.
One place. You think it's a chain? Of diaper spots.
Susie, I swear to God, it probably is. And we probably should have one. We probably should be making money on this.
I mean, how popular could it be, though? Especially like in New Hampshire. How many diaper people are there going to the spas every day?
I mean, that's the whole thing, though. Think about that tidbit. New Hampshire. That's where this is occurring. Not
there aren't even that many people to begin with.
That's almost the most bizarre part, which probably means that lots of people are into it.
That's what makes me so upset, is that that's probably why I get scolded, because everyone's like, what? We love our diapers.
But it's so sad if you, I'm going to get all on this topic again, but it's so sad if you really think about it, because it just comes down to care, does it not? Like,
I know.
Care for me, take care of me, love me.
I saw this guy, this always happens where like we're winding down, but then I bring something else up. But there was this guy named Josh Harris who wrote this book that was very popular when I was growing up called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And he was an evangelical who believed in like purity culture and like abstinence till marriage, who now has taken that back. And I saw him talking about how when you grow up the way we did, where like everything is off limits, then your kink becomes just like, mine's like penises. You know what I mean? Like he goes, what's my kink? Boobs. Like pretty much anything.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, that maybe is why I'm so uptight and think everybody's like wild and needs to calm down because they didn't grow up in this sort of puritanical situation.
That's really something to think about, I guess.
I know. Food for thought. Food for thought. Yep. Before we go, Ruby slippers, back in good hands and good feet. If you're old, say yes to drugs and
and crimes.
And crimes.
Low-level
and
crime.
That's about it. I mean, Rosie had her hand on my pants is really the quote of the day.
Love
but
it.
It was taken out of context, though. Sadly. Thank you for filling in.
Thanks for
our beloved.
Me.
We love you.
Anytime.
You're the best. What do you want to give them your handle to follow you or anything? Or are you just not into that?
It's just at Kelkinsis. I don't even know my handle. No clue. You'll find me. You know who I am.
All right. I'll tag her. You'll find her. She's the best. And we love her. Thank you. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya.